Happy Easter, church family. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He has risen indeed.
He has risen indeed.
He is 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 risen indeed.
He has risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
Let's pray. We'll get started with our Easter service. Father God, we thank you so much for an opportunity to gather together, even if it's over the internet, that the church family is together. Together in spirit, Lord. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to worship you, to remember in our own hearts and minds that your ultimate sacrifice paid the price we could never pay, paid the debt that you didn't owe, but that we created, that your death on the cross and your resurrection means we get to enjoy life eternal because we have found you to be the Lord of our lives. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to be a light to a dark place. Help us to be loving neighbors, fellowshipping friends, and a source of encouragement to anyone we meet. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. Help us to now focus on you. Help us to focus on your wonderful gift. Help us to focus on an eternity that we get to spend with you. In your Son's precious and holy name, amen.
The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled. the nails in my hand, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead, say it isn't me. The day will come and you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, mark my name. My love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free, 'cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and say I'm dead and gone. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one, 'cause I'll come again. There's no power on earth can keep me back, 'cause I'll back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back.
It is great to be with you today, and just to let you know, I'm seeing the faces of those in the church because they've been placed here earlier in the week, and so I feel like I have a great audience of the saints. I'm also wearing my ecclesiastical garb that was made for me by some students of mine in Ghana a number of years ago, so I feel ready to go with a message of hope. But let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we ask now that as we go to your word that we would be strengthened by it. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us alone. We thank you for the reality of the resurrection. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You know, we live in a broken time. This pandemic has, in many ways, kind of snuck up on people. And at the same time, people have predicted these things could happen. Even Jesus himself told these would be like birth pangs, reminding the world of how fragile it is and that he is coming again. We want to talk today about the importance of remembering the resurrection. Charles Dickens wrote Tale of Two Cities with that famous line, it was the best of times and the worst of times. But there was a main character, Manet, who was imprisoned for 20 years. He was a doctor. He went into a French prison. He was unable to practice medicine in prison. And so he tried to occupy himself by becoming a cobbler. And late into the night, you could hear in this little cell him tapping on the bottom of these shoes. Well, finally, the French Revolution came and went, and he was set free. But he had been in prison so long that he no longer could function as a free person. So he had one of his servants prepare a room up in the attic that was the exact size of the prison cell he had been in for 20 years. And he went back to fixing shoes. Kind of a sad, depressing story, so I won't leave you with that. But it reminds me sometimes that we get trapped, or people get trapped, in a state of that just brings about disappointment and a lack of joy and freedom. There was a man named Sir Douglas Bader, who was a pilot, who lost both of his legs in a crash prior to World War II. Well, he so much wanted to be part of the solution that he was trained and had affixed to his legs, the stumps, a way that he could fly, and he became an ace, and during the Battle of Britain, shot down 20 German planes. Later in the war, he was shot down over France. And during that time, he was picked up by the Germans, and he lost his artificial legs. They were so impressed with this man that they wrote a letter and communicated to the high command of the British Army saying, could you please send this pilot some additional false legs? And so they did that. But unfortunately for the Germans, he was so motivated that after he got his false legs, he attempted to escape. In fact, he successfully escaped 4 times. You see, you can't keep a good man down. There was something inside of him that his legs being gone did not keep him in some kind of a trap of his soul. So the question is, what is the difference? I think the difference is hope. And I want to ask you the question today, at this Resurrection Sunday 2020, in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, do you feel hopeful? And where do you rest your hope? Well, we want to turn to Luke chapter 24. We'll be looking at verses 13 to 33, and I think it's one of the most wonderful stories in all of the Bible. Now, Jesus has died on the cross. He has risen from the dead. He has appeared to people. And here's what happens. Starts verse 13. Behold, two of whom? Well, he had just been talking about disciples. So two disciples were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were conversing with each other about all the things which had taken place. It came about that while they were conversing and discussing, that Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Jesus said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty indeed in the word and in sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was to come to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some woman among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning. And they did not find the body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb
and found it exactly as the woman also said, but him they did not see. Jesus said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken? Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. And they approached the village, and they were going, and he acted as though he would go further. But they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening. The day is now nearly over. He went to stay with them. So he went to stay with them. And it came about that when he reclined at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? They rose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. And they began relating their experience on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. I love that story. I love that story because it's a good picture for myself of what happens when I live outside the reality of the resurrection. Now, is that possible? Resurrection happened almost a couple thousand years ago. I've been a believer for 45 years. Is it possible for even a pastor to live outside the reality of the resurrection? Sure it is. It is when I don't focus on the truth and reality of the resurrection. Well, here's what happened. There's three, I call them disses, that happen here. And what happens when we don't focus on the truth of the resurrection? The first is this: we become disconnected and distant. Now notice it. It says the two of them, it relates back to the disciples. These were disciples, not part of the 12, but they were part of that next group of disciples, and they were there, and they were interacting with what's going on. But for whatever reason, they didn't believe what they had heard, and they walked away. And so instead of hanging out, they walked away. They walked in the wrong direction. So here's one of the things that happens when we get disconnected. When we get disconnected from the truth, we then also can get disconnected from the other disciples. So instead of hanging out, they say, well, let's go home. Now, the road to Emmaus is about 7 miles. That's like walking from Kelseyville to Lakeport. And so they just started walking. And so part of it is this, is that we find that when Christians allow themselves to become preoccupied with their dashed hopes and frustrated plans, they often withdraw from the strength found in other believers. I know that happens. I'm a pastor, and I see sometimes people don't come around for weeks, sometimes months at a time. I was told when I first became a Christian that that's an example of the fire pit, and when those logs are together, how they burn brightly. But if you take one of those logs and throw it to the side, it just goes out. It's a matter of physics, really. But for the believer, we find our strength, even during difficult times, in our connection with one another. Hopelessness gets us walking in the wrong direction. So which way are you walking today? Are you reaching towards Christ, crying out to him? Or are you off in the jungle someplace, walking to your own personal road to Emmaus? Some said that they were walking towards the sunset instead of the sunrise. Now, it's funny because Emmaus would be to the west of Jerusalem, downhill and to the west. And that's where the sun sets. instead of focusing our attention to what God, the miracle that he had done in Jerusalem. So the first dis is one of disconnected and distant. The next one is becoming discouraged and disheartened. And we see that in verses 17 to 21. You see, God had let them down. It didn't work out the way they had thought. We thought this guy was going to come and redeem us. He was going to be the guy removing us from the shackles of the Romans. And there's three different words that he uses. Verse 14, verse 15, and verse 17. Different words about their communication with each other. One of those words is the word antibalate, which means the idea of throwing words back and forth. Another word means that they were debating with each other. They were kind of arguing. Man, what was going on? Can you imagine these two people doing that? I sure can. You see, they had lost their hope. They were disappointed. Someone once said the saddest death of all is to be the death of hope. In Australia, there's a mountain called Mount Disappointment. These two explorers had gone across the wilderness of Australia, and they saw this mountain. They said, man, when we get to the top of that mountain, we'll be able to see this beautiful port, and we have arrived at our destination. They get to the top of this mountain, nameless mountain at the time, and they realized that they could not see their goal. They couldn't see that beautiful port. All they could see was more wilderness ahead. So on their map, they called it Mount Disappointment. I've been faced with a lot of setbacks in life. I know so have you. But here's the thing, that because of the resurrection, and because of the promises of God, who says, it's all going to work out for those who love me, then that really takes the sting out of disappointment. But these two men were disappointed. Well, the last dis we see is that it became disbelieving and discontented. There's three faulty perspectives. First, they lacked a spiritual dimension, leaving them with a human understanding of the events. Just look at how Cleopas talks about Jesus' death on the cross. He doesn't talk about the sacrifice for our sins. He doesn't talk about, hey, Jesus said this was going to happen and why it was going to happen. He doesn't relate it to the Passover lamb. They just saw it from a human perspective. It lacked any divine involvement from their perspective. Second, their own agenda determined their expectations. They were thinking, once again, that this would be the Messiah who would come and set them free from the tyranny of the Romans. And the glory days of David would shine again. And the third one is they failed to acknowledge the resurrection. There were two different examples. It said the women went and there was an empty tomb. And then the disciples appeared and they said that that they saw him and they didn't believe it. And in their disbelief, they had nowhere else to go. They said, well, we ought to go home. Well, to me, is that that often happens. God doesn't work the way we want. Whether that be the loss of a job or an illness or a turn of events or a curveball that comes in life. And very often we can turn into be disbelieving and then discontented. Well, we want to see how Jesus responds to them. I just love this. I mean, I've said that 50 times, but in the midst of them walking away, Jesus could have said, you losers, you're giving up so easy. But no, Jesus walks that road with them. He walks the road with you and I and our families and every believer on this planet right now. He walks with us, even when we don't understand. So we see four things with Jesus' response. First is compassion, and companionship. Look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2-3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I will be with you. For some reason, the eyes of these disciples were restrained from recognizing who Jesus was. I think God did that on purpose because he wanted to interact with their questions. He says this in Mark chapter 16, verses 12 to 13. After that, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way, on a road on their way to the country. They went away and reported to the others, but they did not believe them either. So Jesus appeared in a different form. I'm not sure why, but the fact is this. The end result was Jesus wanted to walk along. He wanted to answer their questions. He wanted to fill in the blanks. You see, part of the blank that they needed to have filled in, they had a misunderstanding of Scripture. And the Lord was able to fill in that blank. Jesus asked them what they were discussing and why they were obviously sad. To me, the fact that Jesus draws near to these two seemingly obscure disciples. I want to tell you, there's no such thing as an obscure disciple. You don't have higher ranks. Well, there's Paul, there's Peter, whatever. No, we are all his children. And the fact that Jesus, in the midst of their pain and their discomfort and their confusion, and their walking west to Emmaus, the fact that Jesus would provide companionship and compassion. So you may be alone in your home right now. Maybe you don't have family anywhere close. I appreciated Pastor Jason encouraging. We're trying to call everyone in the church. And if you don't get a call, don't get upset. We're trying. But let's all try to call each other. Because we don't want to let people know that they're not alone. But here's what I have to tell you. You do not walk alone because Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus has not changed. He will draw near to us and listen to us. He wants to hear our troubles. He doesn't want us to be sad. So Jesus first brought companionship and compassion. Next, confrontation and correction. Their lack of belief in spiritual truth must be confronted. Discouragement and frustration can cause us to question God's care. Their need was to have the eyes of faith. And so, Jesus took this opportunity to correct those failures. Now the fact is this, is that I appreciate the patience of the Lord. He didn't say, you idiots. You know, he says, he does say, oh, foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all the things the prophet has spoken. But then he, instead of just saying that, he then informs them. The richness from Moses to the prophets in the Psalms of everything there is to say. The next thing that Jesus brought is confirmation and courage. They believed part of the Word of God, but not all of it. Sometimes we pick at it selectively, that Jesus filled in the blank so they understood. It's heartbreaking at times when we don't take all of Scripture, because I think when we don't take all of Scripture, then we make our own disappointments. So that's extremely important. If you read Scripture and it says you'll never have a trouble in life, that the Christian life is walking through the rose gardens and you'll never stub your toe, then you haven't read it all. It says that I will walk with you. And you're going to make it because I'm your shepherd. Well, the last thing we see here is Jesus brings communion and compulsion. As they continue to go, he tells them the truth. Their hearts are burning. And he's going to keep going. But they get to the crossroad. Hey, this is the way to Emmaus. And Jesus is going to keep going. And he's waiting for their invitation. And I wonder how many times every evening or morning Jesus is simply waiting for Gary Zeke's invitation. Hey, let's sit down and talk. Let's have communion together, Lord. But that's what they did. They went in and Jesus would sit down, and interesting enough, he actually takes the position of the host. He's the one who would break bread. And in the breaking of the bread, they recognize who their Savior is. And then he disappears. And they're so excited. I bet they ran the 7 miles back to Jerusalem so that they could tell their story of how Jesus showed up to them on a lonely road. How Jesus broke bread and was tender with them and educated them and brought them and brought the truth to them. But then how they could encourage one another. Is that our story today? Are we sad? Are we discouraged? Are we kind of overwhelmed by all this? I understand that. But I need to tell you, he's risen. It really happened. He is risen, and it is a risen Savior that offers life to us today. So here's four things I want to do, and then we're going to share communion. First is this, let Jesus walk the road with you. How do you do that? Well, first you need to know him. I think that potentially around the world today, there may be more people coming to Christ than maybe have in recent history. So here's how you know Christ. Here's how you can know the Christ of the resurrection personally. First, you admit you're a sinner. You admit your need for God. That's repentance. And God himself has to give you the energy to understand that. He has to enlighten you. And that's the thing you do, is that you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again. And then lastly, you confess him both Savior and Lord. You confess Jesus as both Savior and Lord. The next thing we need to do, we surrender our expectations. They are expectations of life. I'll only be happy if everything goes well. If my business soars after this is over, if my children don't get sick, whatever, I'm here to tell you, you've got to leave it in God's hands. The disciples did. And here's what happened to the disciples. They were so pumped because of the resurrection that they would spread the good news of Christ even to Lake County. It took a while to get here, but they would be martyred along the way. But they were pumped. Why? Because they said, you know, it's not about us. It's about, Lord, what you want us to do. The next saying, I encourage you to seek God's perspective. We have the same opportunity to share God's vantage point by reading our only completely reliable source of truth. It's the 66 books of this Bible. So be a person of the Word. And lastly, let his presence set your heart on fire. Once again, I grew up and there was a song that we would sing at the end of the service called Spirit of the Living God. I'm going to sing it. I want you to sing it with me. I have a small audience here. I'll have them join me in singing it. So let's sing Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the
Heavenly Father, thank you for walking with us along the road. Thank you for the risen Christ who will walk with us through this terrible crisis. Help us to represent you well. Fill our hearts with passion. Light us on fire again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Well, now we come to time of communion. What I'd like you to do, if you want, is to pause this and get all your the elements together, the juice and some bread or cracker, and have that set out for your family. Then I'll lead you through a time of communion. So we'll take a little break now, and then we'll start. All right. Communion is a reminder for ourselves of exactly what happened on both Good Friday and on the Resurrection Sunday. Jesus Christ came. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the night before he would go to the cross, he would have a supper with the disciples, and he would lay out a time of remembrance that he was going to lay his life down and shed his blood for us as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so what I'd like you to do is take this piece of bread, and he broke this bread during this meal, and he says, this bread represents my broken body. Now can you imagine the broken body of the one who designed the universe, who would come down and walk the earth to show us the way of life, to love us, and then he would die on the cross. He would suffer and die. And so he says, do this in remembrance of me. So let's do this now. Later in that evening, in the upper room, Jesus would take a cup, realizing that it would be the cup of a new covenant, a new relationship, that Jesus Christ would be the perfect Lamb of God, his blood shed for our sins. You know, I've been a believer now for 45 years, and I wish I could say that in those 45 years I haven't sinned, but I have. I'm sad about that. I'm not happy about that. But in the midst of that, I know that Jesus Christ on the cross died for my sins, both past, present, and future, and for the sins of the whole world. And so this is the blood, or the reminder of a new covenant that is in his blood. And he says, as often as you drink this and participate in this, that you are celebrating and remembering me until I come again. And so let's now partake of the cup. Amen. It's the first time I've ever done communion online. But I wanted us to experience that, because all over the world today, a billion plus believers are celebrating the resurrection, and they're celebrating it with communion. We are all knit together. We're all in this together. And so our prayers go with you. Hang in there. If there's anything we can do for you as pastors and elders, please let us know. Now what we're going to do is something special. We're going to end the service here, and then we're going to transport ourselves up to the top of the hill overlooking our valley, overlooking with the cross on the hill, and we have a closing prayer there. So join me at the top of the hill. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful love for us. During these difficult times, we look to you. We thank you that you are our shepherd, our guide. Thank you for the power of the resurrection. And now, Lord, we would ask that you would use our lives for your glory, to share the gospel, to be as Christ to Lake County. So, Lord, help us in this endeavor. Pray for our healthcare workers, surround them. And we ask, Lord, once again, that we would represent you well. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.